They'll support homosexual marriage. And that's basically the message. Luke 15. And let's start in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he delivered unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when they had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and his shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be married. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. There's a story told about a family with three young children who were begging their parents for a puppy. And they continued on and on about that. And mom didn't want one because she knew who would be responsible for caring for this dog if they got it. And they continued pestering, though, and solemnly promised, oh, we'll do everything for this dog. We'll take care of it. We'll do everything. And finally, she relented. They got a puppy they brought home, and they named it Danny. And they cared for him diligently at first. But then as time passed, sure enough, mom gathered more of the burden and responsibility of taking care of this dog. Since they'd failed to keep their promise, mom decided it was time to get rid of the dog. And so she began looking for a new home. And when she found one, she broke the news to the children that they were going to have to give up the puppy. And she was quite surprised that there was not much reaction to this news. And one of them said, matter-of-factly, we'll miss him. And she said, I'm sure we will, but it's too much work for one person, and since I'm the only one that does it all, I say he goes. And then one of the kids protests a little bit and says, but If he wouldn't eat so much and he wouldn't be so messy, could we keep him maybe, Mom? And she held her ground and says, no, it's time to take Danny to his new home. And with that, the children suddenly with one voice exclaimed, Danny, we thought you were saying Daddy. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? I often struggle with what to preach, and it seems like Father's Day is one of the more difficult ones for me because it's generally we look at some of the same things and try to bring it to you in a fresh and unique way, and I really struggle with this one oftentimes, and also because of being fully aware of my own failures as a father and recognizing that there's many things that I could have improved on, and on the fifth one, I'm trying to do much better, and we'll see how well I've done when it's all said and done. But You know, you can fault me for my failures, but there's one thing we can't fault. What God has to say about parenting. And in spite of the fact that I may have failed, what God says does not fail and will not fail. And I'm going to use Father as an acrostic today for my outline and draw out some points to show what makes a good father. The first point, the F stands for faith. Fathers need to be men of faith. First, we need to have entered into that saving faith ourselves. You know, children need a father that knows the Heavenly Father. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." I know that there are some unsaved men that have been good fathers and good examples of a father that what a father ought to be. But if that child is only prepared for this life and not for eternity, he's failed. And dads, that's the first thing that we have is a personal faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, in His shed blood, not in our works, and living that thing in our lives if we're going to be good fathers. The most important role we can play is to bring our children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. A father that prepares everything else in life and doesn't prepare their child for eternity has failed miserably. You know, the verse says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I heard a man one time preaching on it. He said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his family?" Tragedy. But not only do we have to have that saving faith, we have to have a living faith. It's not easy being a father or a mother. There are trials, there are struggles, there are problems, there are all kinds of difficulties that we face in raising children. And the only thing that's going to prepare us for that is that faith and relationship that we have with God the Father. Go to Psalms 86. Psalm 86, please. Psalm 86 and verse 7. The psalmist said this, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." You know, we read in opening Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal. And we know a lot about the prodigal son, the one who wanted everything and took off and went and wasted it and ended up living with the pigs and being so hungry he was ready to eat the pig slop, and came to himself and realized that how much better off he'd be just as a servant in his own father's home. And we know about the older brother. We didn't read about that, how he was jealous and resented what was going on there. We don't know a lot about the dad. But I think there's still some things that we can draw from that. And I think one of the things we can draw from that example is that he was a man of faith. Listen, put yourself in that situation. This kid comes and he says, "I want what's mine. Give me what I deserve. Give me my portion." And his dad did. I think knowing what the consequences would be, knowing that it would be wasted, it was going to be thrown away, but yet he did it anyway. Because he knew that's what the child needed. He had, as Dean was talking about, Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The dad was trusting that promise. But God, I've done everything that I can to raise this child, to make him what you want him to be. And somewhere along the line, something has not turned out as you or I desired. But God, I'm going to trust him to you, that you will take this child and do in his life what needs to be done to bring him back. And so the father took half of the portion of his goods and gave it to that child and watched him walk out the door. Because he had faith that God would do what he couldn't do in the heart and the life of that child. And parents, that's what we need. A faith like that. That we can discern what's needed in the life of our child at this moment. And what's needed in the life of the other child at the next moment. And sometimes those moments crash into each other, don't they? But God's got the answers. So fathers need to be men, first, of faith. Secondly, the A stands for available. Fathers, we need to be men that are available to our families. And I know, especially with the older ones, this is an area where I really failed miserably. But children need a dad who is there, who is involved in their lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. And of course, this is written by Solomon. It's written by Solomon to his son. And he says in verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. Actually, go to chapter 2, verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Verse 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, and whom he delighteth." Chapter 4, verse 1. "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no wisdom, no understanding." You know what you see here? You see a father who is available to his children. Solomon has sat down and written Proverbs to his son to give to him some practical instruction to take him through his life. He's involved in his child's life. He's available to him. Ecclesiastes was also written to him. As Solomon looked back at the mess that he's made of his own life, and he says, "Don't be a fool like I was. Don't you make the same mistakes that I made." Dads, we need to be available. You know, we're in this society in which we live today, we're constantly told how much we deserve and how we ought to take time to pamper ourselves and that I come first. That oughtn't to be the case of a dad with his children. The family's got to come first. And I think a lot of times, I know I've failed there, I know a lot of dads struggle with that thing. Our kids need us, dads. We need to be a part of their lives. And yes, certainly, you can't be there all the time. There's obligations, responsibilities that we have. But you know what? We need to make a point to be there as much as possible. To be willing to make some sacrifices. Far too many dads are detached from their children. They're not a part of what's going on. They're distracted by work, by hobbies, by friends. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 is David at the end of his life. He's about to turn over the kingdom to his son Solomon. And he says this in verse 16 of 1 Chronicles 29. "O Lord our God, all this store that I prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, have I willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer unto thee willingly. And that's not the verse that I wanted. Verse 19 is what I wanted. Okay, I guess I'm kind of dyslexic. I slipped the 6 for the 9. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, again, is the same context that David is at the end of his life, but it gives a little bit more detail about the things that he said specifically to Solomon on this occasion, because there he was praying for Solomon. Now he's talking to Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. David's a man after God's own heart. The sweet psalmist of Israel wrote most of the book of Psalms as he's pouring his heart out to God. Brave warrior. A great king. David had some failures in his life as well. We know of the sin that he had with Bathsheba and then having her husband put to death. We know also the time when he failed to trust God, and he wanted to count the number of the nation of Israel, and many ended up losing their lives in that as well. But I wonder how many of us realize that as a father, David was a failure. David was busy about a lot of things. Everything except his family. He had a son that rebelled against him and tried to take the kingdom away from him. Many of his sons were failures. Solomon had his own failures. And I can't help but think that as David is writing these words here and this challenge to his son, he's realizing his lack and trying to make up for it. And he says, oh God, give my son an understanding heart. Because David was a dad that was not available to his family. David failed in this respect. And we need to take time, dads, to be a part of what our kids are doing, to be involved in what they're doing, to take some time to do some things that they want to do, and not always just what we think needs to be done. Doing things with and for them. And not be like David, a failure in this respect. To be involved in their sports and that type of thing. Be available. Next, we go to the T. The T stands for teaching. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. This, of course, is Moses repeating the law to the people of Israel 40 years after initially received, as they're about to enter into the promised land, as he's going to turn the leadership of Israel over to Joshua. And he reminds them of these things, and he says in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. You know, school is never out of session when it comes to the things of God. And sometimes it's inconvenient when the time comes for a teaching moment. But dads, we need to be available and ready to do that teaching at that time when it comes. Whether you're sitting in the house or walking in the way, when you rise up and when you're lying down, be ready to do that. He goes on here, verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. That is, the law, the teachings of the Scriptures need to be in everything that we're doing. While you homeschoolers are teaching your children, while you're out fishing, or while they're on the ball field, or whatever it is, that we need to try to incorporate these things into this to show them that this is a part of our lives. And this is our lives, excuse me, and not just a part of it relegated to a couple of hours on Sunday. Christianity is supposed to impact everything. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, a part of our thoughts. Psalm chapter 10, it says, God was not in all their thoughts. I pointed that out before. Think about that. Is God in all your thoughts? He's not in all of mine, but He ought to be. That God permeates everything in our lives. Frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house and on thy gates, so that we see that when we go out. Always a constant reminder that I represent Him, and He is to impact everything in my life. Go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm chapter 78 and verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline thine ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Get this. That the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born, which should arise, declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. To teach them to the point that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That it impacts our children's lives and our children's children's lives. Joshua took over the leadership of the nation of Israel and led them into the across the Red Sea and into the conquering of the land there. And they brought the many of the enemies in subjection to them. And then we moved from Joshua to the time of Judges. And it says, Israel continued to follow the Lord throughout the life of Joshua and throughout the life of those who were with him. But there arose a generation who knew not the Lord. What a tragedy. Because somebody failed to make the generation to come to know them even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. We need to teach them. And back to that faith, that living faith, that faith that they see something going on in our lives that makes this communication, this relationship real to them. We need to teach them. Do you realize God created each of them the way they are? As frustrating as that may be at times, God created them the way that they are for a purpose. It's not my purpose to make them all fit a cookie-cutter pattern. It's my purpose, it's my responsibility to take what God has created and to guide that and to mold that and to allow that to be what God wants it to be for His glory and honor. God's got a plan for each and every one of these lives out here. And He made them according to that plan. It's not my role to change that, but only to foster that, to help it along the way. Though children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His delight. They are given to us for a time for the teaching and the preparing for that which God has for them to do. To mold them and develop them to the full potential that God has for them. Certainly there are some weaknesses that need to be dealt with. But then there are some strengths that need to be developed and channeled constructively. You know that little one that just can't sit still? God made that. And if you spend time just trying to stifle it, I think you're going against God. Today it's about drugs. You know, we got to get that thing calmed down, you know, so it'll sit there like a zombie, so it's not disturbing the class. No, God made that child like that for a purpose. Yeah, it needs to be controlled. But there's still a purpose for that. And we do wrong when we try to make all of them exactly alike. Because they're not. And they won't ever be unless you drug them. We need to teach them. Next, the H. Father's to be the head of the home, the leader in the home. Go back to Genesis chapter 18. Dean used this in Sunday school this morning about Abraham. God speaking about Abraham. In verse 19 of Genesis 18, God says this, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." God chose Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, away from that paganism, away from all that idol worship of his family, of his ancestors, and chose to do something new and unique with him, the foundation, the beginnings of the nation of Israel, for this reason right here. I know he's going to raise his kids right. I know he's going to lead his household like he ought to do. You know, a leader makes sacrifices for those he leads. Leader has to sometimes give some things up. The leader sometimes has to take the heat for some things. He takes control, takes responsibility. We're to be the head of our homes, Dad. And another H we could add with that is humility. Men sometimes have a problem with that. Being able to admit when we're wrong. Don't like to do that, do we, Dads? We need to be the leader, but we also need to be humble. The E stands for example. Is my life being the pattern before them that it ought to be? A poem that I've read before, but I would like to repeat it again for this point. It's "Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy," said a boy so frail. "I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are plain. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that you once walked this way many years ago. And what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. Sometimes I'm tempted and don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I grow up, you're like I want to be. Then I'll have a little boy who'll want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you." It's not just a family. It's but the further generations as well. Being an example. The R stands for release. I want to come back to the prodigal again. I believe the prodigal's dad had done all that he could to raise that child aright. He obviously was a man of faith. As the prodigal came to himself in the far country, he said, "I know my dad is compassionate. He had some confidence that though he might not be received as a son, at least he would be received back into that home." What he didn't see was Dad standing, waiting for him. The dad who many years before had said, "Here you go, son. I'm releasing you to God. Because there's nothing more that I can do." Parents, I know, I mean, I struggle with it still, with 4 of my 5 children being grown. Decisions that they make, choices that they make, things that they're involved in that I don't always agree with. And I try to speak my mind and then back off and release them to God. But that doesn't start when they graduate from high school. That's when it is fulfilled. That's got to start earlier. You got to start letting them go. Let them make some choices. Again, back to Sunday school, just want to talk about some things there about the world and the impact of the world on our kids. And certainly we want to protect them. But at the same time, we got to realize they're going to be exposed to some things. And it's better not to tempt them, not to deliberately throw them out into the garbage. But at the same time, understand they will be exposed at some point, and be there when they are to guide them and help them through that thing. Preparing for that time when you got to let go. And I've often compared this to a horse. You know, you're riding the horse and the reins are important. That's the control, right? I remember this guy out in Kansas had a horse named Mooch. And it was trained to work with cattle and so forth. And the guy he didn't need a saddle or a bridle on that thing. Just pressure with his knees on the side of the thing could turn it, do whatever he wanted, cut cattle, working with it and everything. And that horse was trained to respond to the gentlest pressure. And what too many of our parents do is we got the reins and we got them pulled back and we're jamming them back into that jaw of that child. And there comes a point when you got to let loose of the reins and you know what happens to that horse? It's gone. That training is to getting to that point where you can drop the reins and the horse stays right there. It doesn't depart. Or if it does, like the prodigal, it comes back. Release them. Gradually begin releasing them now. Because sometime you come to the point, it's just them and God. And you got to trust God to do what He said He would do. I'd like to close tonight with this prayer that General Douglas MacArthur wrote to his son. Build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he's weak and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a son whose wishes will not take the place of deeds. A son who will know thee, who is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead me, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenge. Here let him learn to stand up to the storm. Here let him learn compassion for those who fail. Build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men, one who will reach into the future, yet never forget the past. And after all these things are his, add, I pray thee, enough of a sense of humor so that he may always be serious, but never take himself too seriously. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity of true greatness and an open mind of true wisdom and the meekness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us, fathers, to be the men of God that we ought to be. And I pray that this simple teaching this morning might serve as an encouragement, as a help to the fathers and the mothers as well here this morning. God, help their children to understand we're not perfect. Help them to be forgiving of our failures, our sins. And God, help us to recognize them and be quick to do what we can to repent of them and strive to make things right. God, may we be the fathers that you desire for us to be. Speak to the hearts as you see the need here this morning, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn.